Fred Dura and his family have lived in this house for 8 years, but they live in the K3 urban renewal area, and they have to move now. There are 13 of them, and they are black and poor, so they won't be able to find a decent home on their own. Here in Milwaukee's inner core, there are hundreds of families like the Duras.
It make me feel like exploding. Then there are no people, other people outside this area is living like kings and queens. And to see the black people have to go through it with this, it can build up a lot of hate in you.
Perhaps many of you are familiar with our public housing project. We are now working on a new type of
these. I'm off the track. I don't care what you've got planned for the future. Like, what about those who have been here for some time in these dirty, rotten houses, between houses that are rat-infested with windows broken and standing there vacant? What about those now? We don't want to know about what you plan to do in the future. Like, the people here are suffering now. What do you want to do about it now? What are you going to do about it now?
How many homes do you have available now for dislocated people?
None.
I am not in a position to answer that question.
Why?
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 Why? It's all the Americans over 200 years telling us what's good for us. Still of us deciding what is good for us, for our own self.
Hey,
and it's left up to me, I'll take all of you, and still I'm burning them damn projects, I'll burn you bouncers home down here.
In the inner city, every time they tear down more houses for an expressway or an urban renewal project, that means less houses for people who have to move. Since 1960, the city and the county between them have torn down 7,500 homes. The K3 urban renewal area is uprooting 1,200 families. Most of these are black and can't move out of the core. Most of them have a lot of children. No one wants them anywhere. That's why the black community sees the city as a white establishment that doesn't care. That's why you hear angry voices.
You know, you pay rent for a lifetime, and you have nothing at the end but a bunch of receipts, and you can't make a fire with those in the last 15 minutes, friend. But I've got the magic thing for you here. As little as $250 down, and you could be into a home of your own at no closing cost. And I don't mean these are old, run-down, dilapidated homes, baby. These are choice homes. Call now.
All right, okay. That's the Oxford Realty. Everybody got a groove now.
This film is about one thing alone. What it means to be black and live in Milwaukee's inner city. Because if you're white, you live in a different city. The Negro sees himself trapped in the core, stuck with bad schools, menial jobs, arrogant police, and run-down houses. This film will look through his eyes at one of his problems, urban renewal, and feel his mood of growing frustration. Fred Dura's wife died a year and a half ago. He's disabled and the family lives on welfare. He and his oldest son, Carl, run the family, and they are trying to find a place to move to.
This was half even sick. I can't find no place to move to, and the man only about his rent, but I told him I wouldn't, and they don't want to do nothing. See, it's worrying, you know, and the kids ain't satisfied with here, and they ain't got decent place to hang their clothes and nothing. See, it wasn't too bad when they were little, now they growing up, it's pretty. Cal? Come here.
A lot of people have been promising to find the Duras a house, including the city's K3 relocation office and the county welfare department. But so far, Mr. Dura has heard nothing more encouraging than promises.
Well, the guy was to Mr. Chapman. He's the main man I talk to when I go down there. He said, well, you just hold on, Mr. Dura. First time I went there, he said, you'll be out. I said, well, I'd like to be moved by Christmas. And even my son, he been had some people's working with him. And they supposed to get us out. I don't know. I know ain't nothing doing. And ain't much more to go about here, because I got to go somewhere.
Sit down.
Robert, I wanted to give you a buzz this morning to check with you on one case that we are working on here that I think needs some extra special attention, and that is the Duras family. And I think maybe this isn't a bad, it wouldn't be a bad idea if we held an interagency conference here on this case. And perhaps...
Right, as the situation stands at the present time, the heating particularly, since we don't own the building, we have no control over this phase of it, except that maybe we should counsel them and tell them to get a hold of the health department, whereby the health department...
Robert, would you have anything in your files right at the moment that you could use in terms of housing resources to relocate this family right within the near, in the immediate future, within the next day or two?
Well, we are getting a couple of these scattered site houses, which will be available from the housing authority, but I can't tell you whether they'll, I know we expect to get this one Friday, but this is the one that Taylor is getting. Now, I don't know whether they're going to get any of these other ones this week also. So I, without checking with the housing authority, I would not be in a position to say whether there would be the possibility of one of those getters.
Our first step would be to have a conference with the landlord to determine whether or not he's aware of the furnace, to get some kind of evaluation of what's wrong with the heating system.
I think I got to work, like I'm trying to do now, work between the real estate and myself and get me a place, because they ain't doing nothing. It's been October, as long as they've been trying to find me a place, and I ain't going nowhere yet. Well, I looked in the paper, and then I go check out, I go to different real estates and ask them about it, what they got, you know.
What have you found so far?
I ain't found nothing. They said, well, we'll look and see, because with my family, they need a big house, see.
But to find a 5-bedroom to rent, you would have to pay over $100 for that. And
yeah, I know that.
We just do not have a house that large.
They said, well, we'll take your name, and if we come up with something, we'll let you know. And when you tell them you got 12 kids, that's it. They don't even want you in the house. We don't want these many kids and all that. You know, they always got some excuse to give you. So, ain't nothing you can do.
Mrs. Taylor is having trouble getting out of K32, but she has a friend who got mad and got results.
This other lady was down here. She was, water was all in her basement. She didn't have no heat, and kids was in the house cold. Then we all got together and went up to the welfare place and sit up there till they promised her a house, and which she did get her house, but I ain't got mine till yet. But now they done promised me one for the 5th of January. This make the 4th house they done promised.
Mr. O'Shine, is he in here?
I got to see about a house today. I mean business today. I done been put off long enough.
So we're here for what?
They promised me this house for Friday, the 5th.
The 5th.
The 5th. Well, I wish you would. The 5th, that's when I'm supposed to get this house. And I would like to see it today. I got to have a house one way or the other.
We don't own the house where you're living yet, I understand.
Yes, the city do have it, too. Yes, the city do have it.
Oh, that's right, yes, that one we own. I was thinking of the other one, yeah.
You got the wrong tailors. Huh. The city been had that house ever since September.
Yeah.
And they've been promising me a house ever since September.
Who promised you the house for Friday?
Mr. Sure. I guess it was you. You Mr. O'Shine, right?
Right.
Right, you. Because you talked to Miss Price. I was in her office.
Yeah. Well, I understand that, Mrs. Taylor, but we had offered you another home, had we not?
You
that wasn't better.
Two or three of them, and I ain't got them. Sure have, you right. Two or three of them, and I ain't got none.
To
yet. But see, I know there's a lot of houses in Milwaukee. It's for sale, and the city ain't got nothing to do with buy a upstory house, a duplex. That's what I'm in now, a duplex. You understand?
Yeah.
And put me in it.
Well, this is what we intend to do, and this is what we will do.
But I'm intending to see to them doing it too right away.
I don't believe it will be done this Friday, though, because as he said, it had...
I'm going to wait, and I'm going to see. I got to do a lot of doing this week, because Friday's the time when I'm supposed to be getting out that shack.
3364 North 3rd, huh? And
well, you will be scheduled for this house, as far as I understand from the Housing Authority, but it would not be available to you this Friday, I'm sure, on the basis of what John just said here. It will be available for you as soon as we acquire it.
It shouldn't take over 1-2-3 days. I'm going to get them to Thursday to have it ready. Well, of course, I'm intending to get in there Friday. I'm going to have everything packed up and everything. So this end I went full enough. Long enough. I'm tired of it. But I know I'm going to call Thursday and Thursday morning and see what is they doing about this place. I know after I see it today, because I'm going to have them clothes ready and everything for to get out of there Friday. Don't, I'm going to have to go up there. And I know they don't mean to carry all them kids of mine up there. Go up there, it'll be enough to fill up the place. I know they don't want me to come in for to sit down up there and wait for a house. I have to go through so much, I'm telling.
10 days after she stormed the relocation office, Mrs. Taylor got her promised house. Unexpectedly, Fred Dura got one before the Taylors. The city bought a house under its public housing scattered site program and moved him in.
They got a nice basement to play in. They got a nice backyard. They didn't have that over there. No, this is better. They got nice rooms and everything just convenient. They got their own bath upstairs. I know it's convenient to me. So I think if y'all filming me that day, that caused me to get in this place. Because I had houses promised to me and had never got them yet. One they said wasn't big enough, but it's a defined one when y'all went with me. I think that's because I got it. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have it now.
Wondering if you ever thought about that. It would be easy. Wouldn't your life be easier if you didn't have so many kids?
I don't know. I've been used to them. I don't think it would. See, I've been used to them for about 17 years. And if one go away, I miss them right away. See, I'm used to it. Maybe if I wasn't, they get on my nerves since I've been kind of sick, but I don't think so. I don't think I'd be, I'm just happy now with them if I didn't have one. To me. There's a lot of trouble, it's true enough. But I figure this is the way I got them. I got to take care of them, so it don't bother me too much.
The Taylors and the Duras are lucky. Their lives have been changed and given new hope because of the difference that a decent house in a decent neighborhood can make for a family. They are two of 11 families for whom the city went out and bought homes. But in March of 1968, there were still hundreds of families left in K3 with nowhere to go. One of these is the Sheridans, Homer and Dolores, and their 8 children.
Yeah, I turn this corner right here on 18th Street. I look at these houses with the windows out, and it's dark, and it's dreary looking. There's no feeling of no happiness there. There's a feeling of just gloom, nothing but gloom. And you want to turn around and go back. And you say, then you say, well, what the hell am I looking for? And you might be sleeping on the dump or sleeping at the mission if you're going to do like I said.
I've seen them laying on the floor. Right there.
A man got 8 kids and he makes pretty good money, and he can't get in a decent house because he's a Negro or because you got too many kids. That just don't seem right.
What's the matter with
you? It's like you're just working in vain. You know, then they wonder, like they say, well, why did this man here say he's not himself no more? He's drinking. You done started drinking. And a lot of guys, that's a little outlet. Maybe for an hour or two, and you come around the corner when you maybe half high or something, then you might see the house look a little different. You might, until you wake up, things look better to you sometimes when you're intoxicated, when you're sober. Say, how come you don't come on right on time? And then you say, well, I want to come out looking at all that. Now he's neglecting his family because he's so disgusted. And then he got a job, but they want you to have a job. And then when you go to the city and say, you hadn't played for me to go, no, I'm sorry, your family's too large, or, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And you get a whole lot of red tape when you're getting the public housing. And it just seems I don't know, intolerable to me, just in vain. So, I mean, for a grown man just to work every day, but and pay them large taxes that they have, and you come home and you not come home to nothing. It's just pitiful, and there should be something done about it right there, you know, right now, because it's just nerve wracking. You ain't got no peace in the home now, like we had before. That's all I got to say about it right now. Maybe mom, she got something to say. But I'll tell you, that just gets me riled up to just even just think of that.
It's made a big confusion between me and my husband, I can tell you that. It makes him feel, I imagine, that he just don't care. He ain't got nothing to care for.
Yeah, well, you care for your family.
I mean he cares for his family. But it's the proper providence for his family. If he see that he can't make them, well, I mean, what can he do about it, you know? I mean, the home that he has isn't in proper order. His kids isn't in proper order. And he's not in proper order. And his wife is always angry. So, I mean, what has he got? He's got a miserable life, I can tell you that. And his wife and kids is miserable, trying to cope with the thing. I mean, ain't no sense in saying that you ain't coping with it when we stay in here every day. We got to be coping with it. I mean, we have to, because we ain't got no other choice.
If you rent your house like the Sheridans, you may even be lucky compared to people who own theirs. In an urban renewal project, the neighborhood falls apart fast, and so do property values. The city pays you what your place is worth when they take it. Down the street from the Sheridans live the Shillings, who own their own home.
Well, we bought this place 11 years ago, and we paid $12,100 for it. And now they come around with a price of $4,500. For this place, well, I think that's ridiculous, you know. What can you do at $4,500 today? You can't buy another place or anything. So, I don't know. I don't really know what to think of that business with them.
Well, what do you mean? Who is offering you $4,500?
Well, I think it's the city. There's some guy called me up one day and wanted to come over while I had something to do. So I asked him what regards it was to, and he said about pricing your house and that, what you're going to get for it. So I asked him over the phone. I don't know who he was. And he told me $4,500. And he asked me, should I come up and talk to you? I said, well, there's no need of you coming up unless you got to come up with a better deal. Well, nobody has come over here, so I don't know who I spoke to. It must have been somebody from the city, though. But the people that bought their homes, not only ourselves, there's a lot of them around here, that bought their homes within the last maybe 10, 12 years, they're taking a hell of a beating.
How does that make you feel, Mrs. Shore?
How should I feel? I feel very bitter against it because when we bought this home, it was the intentions that this was to be our home for the rest of our days. What can you do? You can't even buy an improved lot for $4,500. This is our life, and our hope.
It's really a shame. You work all your life for something, and after you just about got it, then there's somebody coming and just, I'd say, takes it away from you. That doesn't seem fair to me.
No, they're working on the suicide.
More and more, Negroes are putting pressure on the city to get results. There are people in the city government who are trying to help, but they have limited means to work with. There are not enough houses on the private market, public housing funds are limited, and the city is not alone. It has to work within the slowly turning wheels of the federal government. But to the Negro who is looking for a home, the city is the man across the counter who seldom has good news for him.
What has been done for these 49 families?
Mr. Baldwin's been working on it.
Mr. Baldwin with the department?
Yes, he works. He's one of the aides here. He's been working on it. And Mr. Zalecki in Social Services has got a copy of the list, too, and he's also working on it. We'll get to these people, and we will house them.
Well, so far, you have not found any people here home.
No, sir.
You have not went to visit them so far, any of them?
No, the first ones that we are working on right now are people that are in acquisition buildings.
Had you at any point before talked to these people?
Well, any of them. Most of these people have been contacted by the aides.
Well,
with informational letters, yes.
Well, shouldn't you already know then what they need?
Well, in some cases, yes, in some cases, no.
Now, our letter said that we wanted you to relocate them immediately. Since you haven't done this, well, we take some kind of further action. We aren't playing about this.
Do you don't have any idea of about how many families are left in K3 right now?
Well, I would guess that there are probably about 400.
Now, I prepared a list, I think Frank's got it, of welfare clients living in K3, and I came up with 289 families, welfare families. Now, I think when it comes right down to the end, most of these people are going to be big welfare families. I haven't done any research onto the size of the families, but I can see just going through this list that they are in the 7-up category where housing is hard to find. So I think what I'm scared that it's really going to blow up.
Why aren't you able to talk to me? I am his superior.
Well, we didn't like that to you.
Well, you are dealing with the Department of City Development, the Redevelopment Authority, and I have been delegated to handle the meeting for the department this evening. So if you have any grievance, you have it with the department, and if you have questions, and I'm in a position, or other members of our staff here are in a position to answer your questions, we'll be happy to try to do so. If we are not able to, we'll take your questions and attempt to get the answers for you. If you don't care to deal with us or with the department, this is entirely up to you, of course.
Well, there is one other thing. Like Triple O sent to your office a list of their demands. The letter states that we investigated this entire project and found a number of things that were really out of sight, just bad things. If you were the head of this department, and you received our letters, then how come you up before this point here have not been in contact with us?
Nothing was addressed to me.
We shouldn't talk to him at all.
You know, see, the question has been asked, you know, as far as I know of, that there was a letter forward to you, to the office, or to Mr. Oldshank, and you know nothing about it. So otherwise, you're in succeeding for Mr. Oldshank?
If you
know nothing about it, so how can you be
if you're, I have with you me, grievances, is this what you're referring to, Mr. Harwell? I stated that I had not received any letter from you.
Right.
So if you'd like to sit back and I'll read your questions and read answers that have been prepared for your questions, I'll be happy to do so. Would you like me to do that?
What do you want to do?
Let's see what he has on his paper first.
Okay. Well, why don't you see what you got?
There's no date on this
form, I believe. This is the one that was a copy of it.
And the first question states, the relocation office is not providing standard housing for all of the people in the K3 area. Would you like to have me read the so-called solution that you also suggest? In other words, read your entire portion? All right. It says, the city said there was not enough standard housing when they proposed this project, and we demand that they now provide it. And a rough draft, evidently, this, as you can see, is not in letter form yet. A rough draft has just been prepared and was run off. And the reply is as follows. Estimates as to the availability of standard housing were made during the planning period and revised as recently as March 1967. The city's estimates were accepted as valid by federal officials after close scrutiny of procedures used.
Standard housing is therefore available for those displaced by the K3 project. For those who have special problems.
How long do you figure that the nigga gonna sit back and let you Peckerwood tell us what we supposed to have? Y'all have been in this shit for over 200 years, telling us what's good for us. Still of us deciding what is good for us, for our own self. If you can't represent the man, tell the people what they want to know. Tell them what it is. Niggas deserve on the reservation. That's all you Peckerwoods ever knew downtown. It's left up to me, I'll take all of you, and still I'll burn them damn projects, I'll burn you bouncers home down here. When you tear our houses down, we don't have nowhere else to move. You won't give us open housing, Bill. When your shack yourself, when it, you have to live in a rat-infested den, see your kids denied every darn thing that the white kids got, then you would understand. You wouldn't pocket the money that the federal government.
We feel that that is a great problem and that nothing is being done about it. We all feel frustrated. We are tired. We are marched for pretty near 200 days and our demands have went unanswered. And we feel that if the black man don't get his rights through peaceful demonstration, which we have proven to the nation that he has a right to violence, even if he have to lose at all costs. But we do feel that it has been effective in some way, but the main ways this here nonviolence have not been affected. Because the young kids are the one that's most frustrated, and they'll go off, I say half-cocked, and do something, and quite naturally it's gonna involve the rest of the black community, because we're not gonna sit around and watch our kids get shot down or fight a war and we don't take part. Well, we know how, and we can think out and act out accordingly and wait for our chance. Kids are not doing that. And that puts us right in the middle. America don't have time. She has to do in the next couple of months what she didn't do in 400 years, as I said previously. Because as you know this here, I noticed this year we haven't even had much snow or anything, and it's gonna get hot quicker than it did last year. It's only gonna take one incident, set it off. And I think Milwaukee's in more trouble than any city around this country, because it has greater problems that it's not dealing with, but is ignoring it. Then I think on something where I heard people say about Stokely Carmichael and Rap Brown, and Abe used me an example once, say I was advocating violence, and I do not advocate violence, but I do say this. The real advocates of violence are those that sit behind a desk and deny people their God-given right. Not Stokely, not Rap. But people make laws just to get elected, and laws that only benefit one people and not the other one. Those are the advocates of violence.